See, when it comes to young women in Scripture, Paul told Titus that God has ordained the older women to teach the younger women how to carry themselves, how to love a husband, how to take care of a home. God never ordained our young women to learn how to be a woman by watching these crazy TV shows that come on television. God never ordained for you as a young woman to learn how to carry yourself by searching the internet to find another celebrity. No, he done set it up. You supposed to learn from older, mature women that are in the Lord. And some may be single women, but many of them will be mothers. That's what God ordained. And I will tell you, there are certain things you need to learn as a young woman from women and mothers. There's some good things you need to learn, and there's some things that you need to learn what you should not do. You should look at mothers or older women in the church and be like, I should do that, and I sure enough don't need to do that. But today, we're going to look at Hannah, because she was a model mother. She was so awesome that there are some attributes that she had that young men could learn from. Because you got some men, grown and young, they feel that like a woman can't teach them nothing. A woman just needs to shut up and know her place. But I beg to differ. There's some things you can learn from a woman. If I'm right about it, somebody say, he right about it. Now, historically, y'all listen to me. Hannah was the wife of a man by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah at the time had two wives at the same time. It wasn't like he got married, divorced, and married again. No, he had two wives in the same household. Lord, have mercy. One of his wives was named Penina, and the other one was named Hannah. Now, Penina, she had children, and her name meant jewel. This was a woman that when you looked at her, no doubt she was attractive, just like a jewel. But how many know attraction goes longer or deeper than just how a person looks? A person, especially a woman, should be a jewel when it comes to how she thinks, how she talks, and how she behaves. And so we got Penina, the jewel. And she had children. But Hannah did not have children because the Lord had closed her womb. Matter of fact, let's look at it. Y'all go to 1 Samuel 1 and 6. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6. And let me prove to you that what I'm saying is true. Y'all with me? All right. 1 Samuel 1 and 6. Now remember, what's Penina's name mean? Jewel. Now look at how the Bible describes her anything but being a Jew. 1 Samuel 1 and 6. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Isn't that something? Penina's supposed to be sweetie. But here the Bible describes her as being a bully. Somebody that is provoking Hannah because of what the Lord has allowed to take place in her life. I mean, this woman was on Hannah so hard, young folk. Look at the text. She was provoking Hannah severely just to make her miserable. See, it does not matter who you are, how good you are, and so forth. There's just going to be people in your life that's going to pick on you, mess with you, bring you pain, aggravation, frustration, and so forth. And it can be people in your own household. In your own household. Lord, I'm living right, but why are my family members treating me like this? Lord, I'm living right, but why they treat me like this on the job? Why they treat me like this at school? I don't care who you are. I don't care how many policies they have about bullying. It's always going to be somebody, somewhere that messes with you. That is just a part of life. But Hannah, she dealt with her adversary according to the will of God. And see, we need to learn from that, young folk. No matter what type problems you have, that you don't try to handle them the way you desire to handle them, but to handle them according to the will of God. She didn't lean to her own understanding. She trusted her God wholeheartedly. And so we're going to look at three attributes from this woman before she became a mother and after she became a mother. And we're going to learn from them. Are y'all ready? All right. Y'all mighty quiet. Y'all listening? All right. Let's look at these three attributes that this woman has. Now, the first attribute that Hannah had, it lines up with the meaning of her name. Hannah's name, or one of the meanings of her name, is grace. And Hannah, in truth, lined up with the meaning of her name. Now, we know grace in one sense has to do with God's unmerited favor. But grace also has to do with how a person, especially a woman, carries herself with some class, with some integrity. She was ladylike when it came to her dealing with her opposition. And see, it's important for you as a young woman and even as a mother to deal with your opposition in life the right way. You don't want to be ratchet. No, you want to deal with it with some grace. Woo! Look at somebody and say, you got to have some grace. It's nothing like seeing a woman with some class. A woman with some integrity. She could take it to the street. No, but she got some grace. What does Hannah's name mean? Grace. All right. Let's go to Proverbs. And let Solomon bring this out a little bit more before we look at the text. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and 16. Powerful verse. It says in Proverbs 11:16, it says, a gracious woman retains honor. Let's stop right there. A gracious woman retains, help me, honor. Say it with me. Say, a gracious woman retains honor. And that's what Hannah was. She was a woman of grace. Oh, she could have went off and started some stuff with Penina. But she said, no, I got too much class for that. I got too much grace for that. Let me retain my honor. I got to make sure I'm still ladylike. But see, you got some young women in our day and time, oh, man, time they get into an argument with another woman, another man, they ready to take it to the street. They ready to let somebody know, look, I'm from the west side. But see, you got to remember as a child of God to retain your honor. You don't need to be the type of young woman that goes tit for tat. Woo, look at how y'all looking now. You need to retain your honor. You want to be the type of young woman that's not messy. You're not the type of young woman that's known as a gossiper. No, you retain your honor. You are a gracious young woman. You could cuss the person out, but you don't go there. You retain your honor. Can I make some of you mad real quick? But it's just the truth. You the type of woman, you don't fight over no man. You retain your honor. Now, you'll try to work things out. You'll try to get things in the place that they need to be, but you're not going to be on no internet, somebody recording you fighting over no man. No, retain your honor. You don't let other young men or young women talk you into doing things with your body you know you have no business doing, even though you may desire to do them. You retain your man, I can't do this. I can't sneak you in my mama house. I can't let you do this in the car that God blessed me with. No, I can't let you touch me there. I can't let you feel it. I can't give you a picture of it. I got to retain my honor. And it takes something to be that type of young woman in this new millennium. Because folk will try you. I said folk will try you. Just like Penina, folk will try you. But you have to remember, Pastor taught me according to God's word that a Christian woman is a gracious woman. You retain your honor. And it ain't that what you go through and the things you deal with people, it don't hurt sometimes. You do hurt. I mean, some of the things that people say and do to you, it causes you to cry sometimes. Am I right about it? It makes you mad. It makes you want to go get a knife sometimes. And not just cut somebody else, but sometimes cut your own self. Makes you want to get violent, but you have to remember who you are. Second trait. You handle what you're dealing with, like I said earlier, according to God's will. And that's what Hannah did. Look at 1 Samuel 1 and 10. Look at this. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Y'all still with me? Okay. Y'all mighty quiet. Okay. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 10. Look at this second trait. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Penina was vexing her so much, she was hurting. She was upset. It caused her to weep. So much so where she became bitter in her soul. This woman was hurting. I wonder what Penina was saying to her. And I'm gonna tell you something. It's some things that daughters say to their mother that their mother may not show them emotions in front of them, but you got some mothers, they'll go in their room and they'll just be crying, "Lord, I've been good to my daughter. I've been taking care of her, providing for her. When she didn't have, I would make sure she had, even when I didn't have," and be sitting in their room just crying out unto the Lord. You have to be careful as a daughter, because I know sometimes daughters and mothers, they go through that little thing. You know what I'm saying? They go through their little thing and they get to feeling themselves, and sometimes daughters snap off and go off on their mother. But mama may not be showing you in front of you the pain that you causing her. But it hurt. I don't care the toughest mother. She got feelings. And women by nature are just emotional. And them mothers sometimes will be in their car or be in a room and you can hear something and they be like, "What's going on?" And she just toughen up, "Nothing. I'm all right. Just go and do what you're doing." No, she in there hurting because of what you said and what you did. Couldn't believe you went out and did what you did. You done went out and got locked up. Boy, your mama done taught you better than that. But she be hurt. She be hurt. But I love how Hannah handled her ops. She feared the Lord. Woo! Hannah feared the Lord. She was human. She was hurting. But she cast all of her cares on the Lord. And see, we need to learn from Hannah. Because sometimes, if we just be honest, we don't do that. But this woman, she said, no, I'm going to go before the Lord and cast my cares on him. And I'm going to tell you something, young women. Listen to me real closely. Sometimes in life, you may get your heart broken. You get your heart broken by someone. That's a part of life. But you have to learn how to take that to the Lord. Sometimes things don't go the way you desire them to go in your life. But like Hannah, we have to learn how to cast our cares on the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You can have your plan, write it down, and say in 6 months I'm going to do this. And next thing you know, 5 years I'm passing. You ain't even got to the next step. Things don't go the way you desire sometime in life. But you and I, we can take that thing to the Lord. And how many know he can cause all things to work together for our good? I love that about Hannah. She feared the Lord. Two ways the text talks about how she feared God that I want to talk about before we go to our last characteristic of Hannah. Are y'all learning? First of all, she was a praying woman. She exemplified that she feared God by having prayer as a foundation in her life. And see, as a young man, young woman, or a mother, prayer should be the foundation of your life. If you go a whole week without good prayer, prayer ain't the foundation of your life. If the only time you pray is when you come to church, prayer is not the foundation of your life. You still talking about some, now I lay me down to sleep? I pray the Lord my soul to keep? No, prayer is not the foundation of your life. Talking about some good food, good meat. Let's eat. No, prayer is not the foundation. Prayer needs to be the foundation of our life. So much so, Jesus said this in Luke 18:1. Men should always pray and not faint. Young folk, you and I, we got to know how to talk to God. We got to know how to hear from God. You got to know how to get a prayer through and get an answer back. You don't need to depend on mama, grandmama, daddy, or the preacher at all times. You got to know how to get a prayer through for yourself and get an answer back. Look at the text again. And she was in bitterness of soul, and what did she do? And prayed. There are some of our youth and young adults here, prayer is not the foundation of your life. You don't need to go one day without spending quality time in prayer with your God. Even if you get up late, you still need to be praying on the way. The Bible goes so far, young folk, to say pray without ceasing. We should always be in talks with our God. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. Let him direct our path. Are you listening, young folk? Because now young people are so gifted. God has blessed young people to have money. Some folk feel like they don't need to talk to God. They feel like they their way is right. But there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. You always want to be the type of person who has prayer as the help me foundation of your life. And as a parent, as a pastor, I can tell sometimes, I'll be like, man, so-and-so can't be praying. they making them kind of choices. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way they praying. Making them kind of choices. I even have to look at myself. I'll be like, hey, you need to make sure you praying before you do that right there. Because how many know things can look like a blessing, but it be deceiving? The second way that she feared God was not only that she was a praying woman. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, and let me show you the second way. Now remember, Peninnah done talked about this woman so hard, it done drove her to be bitter and to start doing what? Praying. Okay? And when you read first chapter of 1 Samuel, you find out she was also fasting. And so she went to the house of the Lord. And she was hurting so bad. Listen, young folk, she was praying, but she was just moving her mouth and nothing was coming out. And so when Eli, the preacher, looked at her, he said, woman, when you going to put that alcohol away? You drunk. And she had to tell the preacher, no, I'm not drunk. I'm hurting right now, and I'm really seeking my God. And so, which brings us to our verse right here. She began to tell the man of God, look, God ain't blessed me with no child. I want a child. So much so, she not only talked to the preacher, she began to talk to God and let God know what was in her heart. Lord, if you just bless me with a man child, I'll give them back to you. This woman praying. How many see what I'm saying? Now let's pick it up. 1 Samuel 1, 16. It says, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken unto now. Then Eli answered and said, look at this. Eli answered and said, Eli, the preacher, the pastor, he answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. Look at this. So the woman went her way. What did she do? She ate, and her face was no longer sad. The second way she feared the Lord based upon that is that she received her prophet's word. The man of God said, look, go in peace. God gonna answer your prayer. She heard what the man of God said. She got up, went and got something to eat, and she was happy. See, one way we demonstrate that we trust God or we fear him is when we believe his prophets. And that's what type of woman Hannah was. When the man of God said, all is well, God gonna answer your prayer, the woman got up, she started eating, and she was happy. She was connected to her pastor. She was connected to the prophet. And see, we need to learn from that, young folk. Whenever God gives the prophet a word for us, we need to receive it and leave expecting it. That's what she was doing. She left happy. Man, God gonna answer my prayer. I'm going in peace. I'm happy now. Let me go in here and get something to eat. She came in sad. She came in angry. She came in praying. But then Eli gave her a word and said, you got peace, and God gonna answer your prayer. She changed after she heard the rhema word. And see, young folk, that's how we have to be. We have to change once God sends us a word. And see, when we like that, that shows God that Lord, I fear you. I trust you. You done gave your servant this message. I'm walking in it. Good God Almighty. And guess what happened after she heard the man of God? She went home with her husband. 9 months later, ba-boom, here comes Samuel. She walked in that word, and the word came. It came to pass. That's exactly how we need to be, young folk. We need to have a prayer life, and we need to make sure we receive the word from God's prophet. When we do that, that says that we fear God. All right, what's the first trait Hannah had? She was a woman of grace. Second trait, she feared God. This last one, let's go to verse 24. So Samuel has been born now. And she named him Samuel because Samuel means asked of the Lord. Didn't she ask the Lord for a man child? And did the Lord give her? All right. So she named him Samuel. So now it's time for her to repay the vow that she made. She told the Lord, look, if you just give me a son, I'm going to give him to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And so now, in verse 24, it's time for her to fulfill what she said. She's been doing her part. Now she's weaning him. Now, to wean a baby, naturally speaking, is when a child is born, the mother gives the baby milk. And in our day and time, it's either artificial milk or milk from the breast, right? But the child will get to a certain age to where they don't need to be taking in milk. It's time for some solid food. What you look like at 10 years old still, Mom, I'm hungry, and she had to go in her shirt and just, well, come on and get something to eat. No, she had to wean Samuel off of the breast milk. So she start disconnecting. Same process God's now. I got to wean you off the world. You need to start depending on me. And so now she said, I gotta stop giving him nourishment, and I gotta take him to God's house. She wants to make sure that Samuel has a man of God in his life, even as a young person. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Let's look at the verse. Let's go to 1 Samuel 24. Y'all done got too quiet. We're going to read 24 and 25. Now, when she had weaned him, y'all follow me, she took him up with her. How many bulls? Three bulls, one ephod of flour, and a skin of what? Wine, and brought him where? To the house of the Lord, where? In Shiloh. Look at this. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. Third trait. Hannah made sure her son had a man of God over him. She made sure her son was in church. She made sure that her son had a pastor. Y'all see it? Took him to Shiloh. This is where the house of the Lord is. Eli, we know him. You're going to be up under this man of God. Isn't it amazing how in our day and time so many mothers want to make sure their children play basketball, play football, run sports, but do not want to make sure that they are in the house of the Lord? You ought to be thankful that you got a grandmama, a auntie, or a mother that wants to make sure that you are in God's house to learn the ways of the Lord. You ought to thank God mama woke you up and made you get out of bed when you wanted to stay in bed and say, no, I'm taking you to God's house and I'm going with you myself, because you need to be up under a man of God. She was doing what Solomon said, making sure that her son was trained up in the way that he should go. Isn't that amazing? You just got some parents, they just do not look at God's house as being essential or significant. But thank God for mothers that want their kids in the will of God or in God's house. Y'all ought to put your hands together for a mother like that. A grandmother, an auntie like that. My grandmother was in holiness all the way up in Virginia. And she would tell my mother, look, they can come stay. They can come stay the summer. But hey, when they come stay over here, we going to church. We going to the holiness church. Man, I remember going to that church. They had the pews that didn't have no type of support in it. You be sitting just like this. Man, we be up in that church and they be preaching hard. I didn't understand all of what was being said, but she had us in church. I remember when I was over grandmama's house, 3 o'clock in the morning, she was a registered nurse. So her shift, she worked the night shift. And so she would get up and pray early in the morning while we in there sleep, she'd be in there praying. And I remember I wasn't used to that because I didn't see my parents praying at home. But when I went to grandmama's house, I would hear her back in that room. And she would be on the bed, and I remember a couple of times I would just open up the door, and I would look. I'd be like, man, what's she doing? And she'd be in there praying on her knees against the bed, had this big old Bible on the bed, and she'd be in there seeking the Lord. And out of my curiosity, as I grew, I would just ask her, Grandma, what you doing? What you in here doing? And she would just tell me things about the Lord. Man, she would tell me some stuff. One thing in particular, it was not scripture. But I'll never forget this. She used to tell me when I was a preteen, she said, Jerome, you going to be a preacher? She used to tell me that, and I was a rank sinner. She said, you going to be a preacher? I'd be like, why? Your lips red. You going to be. I'd be like, what you talking about, Grandma? I'm telling you, you going to be a preacher. I'm like, not because my lips red. But she would put that in me, and little did I know, 20-something years later, God called me into the ministry. But it wasn't because my lips were red. But thank God for mothers and grandmothers that want their kids in church. And that's what she wanted. And she promised the Lord that she would do with Samuel. So we got these three traits of Hannah. Y'all got them? She was a woman of grace. She was a woman that fear God, and she was a mother that made sure her son had a man of God over him. Made sure. Now I want to leave her alone and deal with our text. Over in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse 19. She went through all of this for her son. Seeking the Lord. Fasting and praying, hearing from the prophet, receiving the prophet, and God finally giving her a son. And her training him up in the way that he should go. But our text tells us something very important that's appropriate for this audience. Look at the end of verse 21. It says, and the child Samuel, what did he do? He grew before the Lord. The child Samuel did what? He grew before the Lord. He matured. He grew in the things of God. See, mama has her part. But it's important for young people, young adults, to make sure that they choose to walk in what mama has established. Mama can show you the way, but you have to want to stay in the way. Samuel had a choice, young folk. Eli had his own two sons. Eli had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. They were not saved. They were running wild in the streets. They were messing with young women in the church. They were slap mess. And so with Samuel being around Eli, he had to see Eli's sons. He had to. And so he had to make a what? Choice. Am I going to be like Eli's sons? Or am I going to do what mama done trained me to do? He had to make a what? Choice. Same way with us young folk. You have to make a choice. Are you going to do like your peers that don't know the Lord? Or are you going to walk in what mama done taught you to walk in? What you going to do? Are you going to do what you want to do? Or are you going to do what mama has taught you to do according to God's word? As a teenager, young adult, even adult, you have to make a choice. And again, you're going to have things pulling on you, trying to convince you what to do. But just like Samuel, you got to grow up. What are you going to do? You going to be saved for real? Or you just going to be out here saying you Christian, but you're not? You got to grow. You got to grow. You know God chose you to be a leader. Are you going to be a leader? Or are you going to keep talking that? I don't really want to do that. You got to grow. You got to grow. Mama can't grow up for you. Mama can't grow up for you. You got to grow up on your own. And I love how the text say, meanwhile, the child Samuel grew. He matured. And see, that's what God expects from us. You got to grow up. You senior now. You getting ready to legally be considered an adult. Even though you're not in how you think, talk, and act. Just from a numbers age, you got to grow up. You got to grow up. You're a junior headed into being a senior. Life finna come quick. Life finna come real quick. What you want to do with your life? You got to grow. Got to grow up. Mama can't keep doing it for you. You got to grow up. Done taught you how to make a bed. You need to be making your bed now. You got to grow. You got to grow up. Done taught you how to wash clothes. Now you need to be washing them, yourself. Gotta grow up. Gotta do what mama done taught you. Because I have bumped into young folk that had a mother that trained them, made sure they were in church, but they were still on that dumpster. And you talk to them and they were like, man, mama told me that. Grandmama told me that. I should have listened. I'd just be wanting to slap him with my left hand. I'd be like, why didn't you listen? But everybody has to make their own choices. Own choices. So what are you going to do? Or what are you going to continue to do? Because it comes a time and point to where you can have a model mother, but you have to make the choices that you've been taught based upon what your mother has put on the table. Samuel went on to be one of the most productive and prosperous men of God in Scripture. But it all started based upon the foundation that he learned from his mother. That's how it started. Thank God for his daddy, but that's not the day today. Hannah, she set a great pattern for him to follow. Samuel was known for being a man of prayer and doing God's will. Wasn't perfect, but he was known for that when you read about his life. He stayed following the example that his mother set. And that's what we need to choose to do. That would be best. Especially if you have a mother that's doing according to the will of God. I thank God for Hannah. And I thank God for other women that are model mothers. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the text. I'm going to stop right there.